Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point, live from Denver, Colorado, where it's day two, round two of the Democratic National Convention. We are right in the thick of it, high above the hall in a crush of delegates and visitors where you never know who will stop by. We just had former NBA star Charles Barkley here saying the campaign is not about race, it's about the economy. And then there was former President Jimmy Carter at our microphone.
This is perhaps one of the most important elections we've seen in history between the two parties. There's such a dramatic difference between the parties. And all you have to do is to look at what George Bush has been the last 8 years and what Obama will bring to this nation.
Thank you, Jimmy Carter. We may be public radio. We may be camped out in a 1,000-year-old Howard Johnson's halfway to Wyoming and sleeping on sofas. But when it comes to this country's democracy, we've got a little fork in right behind CNN and CBS here doing our public radio thing. And why not? It's everybody's country. Tonight, former Virginia governor and now Senate candidate Mark Warner will deliver the convention's keynote address. And Hillary Clinton will deliver her much-anticipated speech. We will look in this hour on the Hillary Clinton story. But first, we're going tonight to battleground state stories from across the country, including right here in Colorado, where Barack Obama needs to turn red states blue. This hour, On Point, we're live in Denver with delegates from the real battlegrounds. You can join the conversation. Are you from a battleground state, a state on the fence that Barack Obama needs to take? What's the word on the street? How's it looking for Obama? For McCain, what are the issues most important to you? And whether it's borderline states or voters, what does Obama need to do to win? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We have a full house in our broadcast booth here above the convention floor. We're joined by Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for Time magazine. Karen, it's great to have you with us, as always.
Hey, Tom, it's great to actually be looking at you in person for once.
Right, in person right here. And we're joined by delegates who know what battleground means this year. We'll be joined by delegates from Michigan and Virginia in a moment. We'll hear from four tonight altogether. But first, from Colorado and North Carolina, with us from Colorado is Colorado delegate Chrysanta Duran. She's a 27-year-old attorney and president of Colorado Young Democrats. Chrysanta, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here.
And Brad Thompson is with us. He's a third-time delegate from Raleigh, North Carolina, 60 years old, African-American, married with four children, runs an advocacy agency for nonprofits. Brad Thompson, thank you for being here.
That sounds like me, Tom.
That's
you. Good to be here.
That's you, and it's great to have you. Karen, we're going to get the direct story from the delegates sitting right here with us, but give us the big picture first. Barack Obama came out swinging on battleground states, said he was going to go after a lot of them. How does it look at this point in the campaign?
Well, you know, one of the things that Barack Obama, one of the advantages he has with these extraordinary resources that he has been able to raise on the internet and from donors, is that he really can compete in a lot more places. When I interviewed him last week, in fact, he was boasting about the fact that they were competing in what they had identified as 18 purple states, 18 battleground states. Now, over the last few days, they have sort of pulled back on some of their advertising on some of these states, reportedly seven of them.
Why is that?
Well, that's the campaign is saying that they will be back in these states, that they are not giving up on them. These are, mind you, states like Alaska, Georgia, Montana, North Carolina, Brad, North Dakota, Florida, and Virginia. They are saying they will be returning to these states, but that at this point it does not look like it's sort of worth their while to be investing, at least in putting things on the air in these states. We'll see. I mean, it is interesting that this also coincides at a time when Barack Obama is starting to struggle in the polls against John McCain.
18 states that we're talking about as battleground states. Four of those were states that John Kerry won, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Michigan. They were saying not long ago that if he could get Iowa, North Carolina, Virginia, plus what John Kerry had, that would do it. That would be the electoral total. What are the key ones when you look out at the map right now, Karen? Which look like the most important battlegrounds for the Obama campaign?
Well, I think we got a big, big clue as to one that they consider a big battleground, which was with the selection of Joe Biden, who is going to give them some strength, they hope, in Pennsylvania.
Of Delaware, but neighboring Delaware, Pennsylvania, he's got some history there.
That's right. He's not only from Scranton, but he, in all of his races, has been advertising for decades in the Philadelphia media market. So Pennsylvania is obviously a huge one. Ohio, as always. Florida, as always. And I think really, you know, a number of these states are across the Rust Belt. And the thing that David Plouffe of the Obama campaign says is that what they want to do is invest in enough states so that there is not just one needle that they have to thread here, that there can be any number of paths to victory, that it won't hinge on, as it did with John Kerry, winning one big state of Ohio.
But I'm looking here at a Washington Post headline today. From swing states, the watchword is worry.
You know, I am hearing a lot of anxiety at this convention. It is not something that, much more anxiety than I might have expected a month ago. And I think that it's, you know, rightly or wrongly, people are paying a lot of attention to these polls. And they are, you know, also noticing that John McCain, quite frankly, is turning out to be a much more aggressive candidate than a lot of these delegates were expecting.
Let's go to the delegates who we've got right here, and we're very happy to have them. Chrisanta Duran of Colorado. You know the politics here well. Colorado has had a big transition in recent years. Before 2004, Republican-controlled the governor's office, both chambers of the state's legislature, held 4 of 7 U.S. House seats, both U.S. Senate seats. Two cycles later, I'm reading Thomas Schaller here in the Baltimore Sun. Now you've got Democrats with the governorship, both chambers of the state legislature, 4 of 7 House seats, 1 of 2 Senate seats, and maybe another come November. But how does it look for Barack Obama?
I think Colorado is definitely going to go blue in November. And the reason why is because Barack Obama has effectively reached out to young people in Colorado and communicated with us in a language that we understand and also are interested in hearing, in terms of using text messages, emails, and so forth. And I think it's been a very smart approach to targeting the youth vote. And also the Latino vote is very important here in Colorado as well. And in terms of the issues on education, healthcare, making sure that Latino voters can be part of the American dream. Barack Obama's platform really represents that. And so I think that I'm very optimistic about the future here in Colorado, and I think he's going to take Colorado.
You've also got a big conservative contingent in Colorado on the religious front. You've got a big military community here, and John McCain, of course, has his background in that quadrant. Colorado's voted for a Republican candidate in all but 2 presidential elections since 1952. John McCain's got some traction here as well.
He has some traction, but not as much as Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a man of faith, and I think the voters in Colorado, specifically from the Latino community that are primarily Catholic, and you know the Christian churches here as well, do recognize that Barack Obama is a man of faith. And so at the end of the day, I believe that he'll persevere.
Brad Thompson, you're from North Carolina. You gave Barack Obama a huge and very important primary victory there just when it counted most. What about the general election in November? How does it look now in North Carolina?
We're unified in North Carolina in our confidence that Barack Obama can take the state. For the first time in over 30 years, we're within the margins of error here. And I think if we mount an effective campaign over the next 2 months, we will find that North Carolina should be in that column of states that stands with Barack Obama, and we can make it happen.
He had a huge African-American turnout in the primary. Will that come again for the general election, and will it be enough?
It will, but it will take other things to get a majority in the primary. That means we have to mobilize new voters, that we have to work effectively to make sure that traditional Democratic voters stay at home. And the third thing is that we have to work for a very high turnout. If we get those three things happening, bringing new voters in, mobilizing the base by creating a message that reaches them effectively, and third, by working for a higher turnout, then we can take a majority of the vote in North Carolina.
What do you mean you want traditional Democratic voters to stay at home? How do you make that happen?
Well, you don't do it by just a robust African-American turnout alone. There's a reason to vote for Obama, whether you're a white male or a Hispanic female or an Asian male, all people can benefit through the policies that he articulates. And what we have to do is to reach out to them with the kind of message that reaches their concerns.
And bring them out. I see. Crisanta, you're sixth-generation Coloradan, Mexican descent, Native American descent, Spanish descent. What about the Latino vote here? How strong and where is it headed?
Look, Coloradans and the Latinos that live in Colorado care about the economy more than anything. And in terms of going forward and making sure that we have a stronger economy, they trust Barack Obama more than John McCain to get us on the road that we need to be in going forward.
Crisanta, we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton later, but what would you like to hear from her tonight? How important do you think her speech is this evening?
It's incredibly important. You know, Hillary Clinton has been a leader, a very strong leader for so many people that are part of the middle class and working America, and her speech today is going to be very important, and it's wonderful to see the party coming together for a new direction in the United States that we so badly need.
Brad Thompson, the worry in the Washington Post headline is partly about the Obama-Clinton trouble in recent months, partly anticipation of this speech tonight. Are you worried about Obama in November?
Well, it starts with W-O-R, but I think it's W-R-K. We're going to have to put out a lot of work between now and then. And I think that we have found that the Clinton people, the people who supported Hillary Clinton, are coming aboard with the best efforts to try to help make this a Democratic win in November.
Brad Thompson, delegate from North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina. It's so great to have you. Thank you for stopping by the booth here. And Crisanta Duran of Colorado, 27 years old. She sees a victory coming for Obama. Well, we'll see you soon enough. Thank you so much for coming, Crisanta.
Thank you for having me.
Karen Tumulty, you hear a lot of confidence in these voices, but of course, off microphone, there's worry too.
Well, you know, but I think that both Brad and Crisanta touched on something very important, which is that the Obama campaign believes that they really don't have to accept the electorate as it is. While you hear a lot of people here worrying about Obama's ability to connect, for instance, with, you know, working class, blue-collar voters, it's also bringing out young people and African-Americans in numbers where they haven't come out before.
Karen Tumulty with Time Magazine, please stand by. It's great to have you here. We're live from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. You can join the conversation at 800-423-8255. We're looking at battleground states. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from Denver and the Democratic National Convention. You can hear Debbie Stabenow, Senator from Michigan, behind me right now. We're talking tonight with convention delegates from key battleground states about Barack Obama's challenge in the November election. And later this hour, we'll be looking ahead to Hillary Clinton's big speech tonight. You can join the conversation from wherever you're listening right across this country. What do you think? Can Barack Obama turn Republican red states Democratic blue? Will he have to do that to win in November? And listeners in Pennsylvania, Florida, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Virginia, what do you see in your battleground state? Is Obama turning the tide? We're at 1-800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. We've been joined by Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent for Time Magazine, who's watching the whole big national picture. We just heard from convention delegates from Colorado and North Carolina. Right now, we're joined by two more out of the throngs that are here. From Michigan, we're joined by Delegate David Hecker. He's a three-time delegate from Huntington Woods, Michigan. That's outside Detroit. 55 years old, married with three children. He's president of the American Federation of Teachers in Michigan. He was a Hillary Clinton supporter. David Hecker, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And from Virginia, the great state of Virginia, we're joined by Virginia Delegate Carlos Del Toro. He was born in Cuba and is a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, spent 26 years in the Navy, served on the front lines in the Persian Gulf War. He's now CEO of SBG Technology Solutions. Mr. Del Toro, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
All right, let's hear it from your states first. Michigan, David Hecker, let me come to you. How does it look for Barack Obama?
I think it looks good for Barack Obama in Michigan. You know, Michigan, one thing we lead the nation in, which I wish we didn't, was the recession really came to Michigan before it even came to the rest of the country. And the unemployment rate, the foreclosures, the loss of health care, the having to deal with $4 a gallon gasoline. Michiganians know this story longer than even the rest of America knows this story.
But does it look
and
as
they
good
know we need a change.
Does it look as good today as it did two or three months ago when Barack had the big momentum of coming out of his primary victory mode?
Absolutely. Because when you talk about the issues with people, when they've experienced what Michiganians have experienced, they know we need change. We need someone with a vision. Now, he was in Lansing a couple of weeks ago and gave a speech on the energy. And he spoke about that by 2015, he wants to see 1 million electric cars in the United States. Well, there's no state better poised to do that, to build those cars than Michigan and our skilled workforce that's experienced in the auto industry. And so people see that good future if Barack Obama is elected.
Carlos Del Toro, Lyndon Baines Johnson was the last Democrat to win Virginia's electoral votes in 1964. Barack Obama has put a lot of hopes on Virginia. How does it look?
Well, I think just like Michael Phelps broke the record, I think Barack Obama will also break the record in Virginia.
Move over Mark Spitz, move over LBJ.
That's exactly right.
Why? What's working for him and what's working against him as we've come into this late kind of August lull for Obama nationally, at least?
Well, I think in Virginia what's working for him really is the work that's been done by Mark Warner and Tim Kaine. You have two very solid blue Democrats who have shown that they can manage the economy, that they can do the right thing for hardworking Americans. And that sort of has laid the foundation for Barack Obama, I think, in that case. And I think also what's worked against the current administration, what works against John McCain, is a record of 7 years of a failed economy. They have lost touch with taking care of hardworking Americans and Virginians, and they're starting to wake up to that fact.
And, of course, we're going to hear from Mark Warner, former Virginia governor, tonight with the keynote address at this convention. It's kind of governor's night here. We just heard from James Doyle, Wisconsin governor, as we came in. We've got Montana's Brian Schweitzer, Massachusetts' Deval Patrick, Kathleen Sebelius, who many thought about as a potential VP pick, and a lot more coming on the governor's front, and, of course, Hillary Clinton. We have a lot of listeners who want to join this conversation. Let me begin to turn to them in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, you're on the air to Denver. What do you see there?
This is Kenneth. I'm in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. There's a lot of support here for Barack Obama. People are very, very enthusiastic. We're in the city, which is traditionally a Democratic stronghold. And, a lot of enthusiasm. We're going to see African Americans and young people like never before. You know, when I called, I wanted to point out that we traveled to further into the rural part of the state earlier this week. We went to the Westmoreland County Fair, and there were two guys there working behind kiosks for Barack Obama, and it wasn't as bright. I mean, what they said was that it was harder for them to convince a Hillary supporter to vote for Barack Obama than it was to convince a McCain supporter to vote for Barack Obama. So I think it is going to be a real tight race here in Pennsylvania, and I think that a major issue is race, in that, this race here in Pennsylvania is going to hinge on white people talking to one another about racism and convincing one another that Barack Obama is to focus on the issues and to not let racism, choose their candidate, choose the next president of the United States.
Kenneth, in Pittsburgh, let us pick up both those points. And first we'll go to Hillary Clinton. David Hecker, you were a Clinton supporter. Now here we are. She's giving a speech tonight, but not as, the one who will be acclaimed at this convention. Mm-hmm. What about that piece? We'll look at race, but what about disappointment among Hillary supporters? Some even going to McCain in the polls. Karen, you must have seen it. It's some not insignificant percentage at least talking about that. Where do you see the Clinton wave going this deep in the campaign season, David?
There's no question in my mind that Senator Clinton supporters are going to be with Senator Obama, and I'm sure that Senator Clinton will be asking them to do that tonight. It all comes down to the issues. And when you compare where Senator Clinton is on the issues and where Senator Obama is on the issues, there's almost a perfect match there, as opposed to John McCain. If you're someone who supported Senator Clinton, and because you support the thing she stands for, there's no choice in this election. It's clearly Barack Obama, not someone who votes at 95% with President Bush.
Carlos Del Toro, what do you hear from Clinton supporters here at the convention? And what about the race issue that Kenneth raises from Pittsburgh? You got into the countryside, and people were, just hanging on it.
Right. Well, with regards to the Clinton issue, I'm a Clinton delegate as well, too, and I was a Clinton supporter, and I worked in the administration as a military White House fellow as well.
Under Bill Clinton.
Under Bill Clinton, yes, and OMB. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that there is a clear distinction between the policies and Barack Obama and the policies of John McCain. And if you're a Clinton supporter, you need to clearly understand that it is a dramatic difference. Take a look at what might happen if John McCain wins the presidency in the future of the Supreme Court and the impact that that's going to have on the most progressive of issues across this country. So I think that, you know, it always hurts to lose an election, obviously, and those people who are supporters are hurt by that fact. But I think you're going to see a clear turnaround over the course of the next 3 months, and you're going to see some avid Clinton supporters coming out for Barack Obama, just like myself, who happens to have one of his field directors living in my house right now to make sure that he becomes the next president of the United States.
Let's go to Battleground State, Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, and Alan. Alan, you're on the air to Denver.
Yes, two words. I think, first of all, Barack has Virginia, and the reason why is the two words. One is diversity, especially in the Northern Virginia area. This place is so diverse. And people that live in a diverse area tend to look at things from different perspectives. That's one of the major reasons why he's been doing very well in big cities. And another thing is that most of the people that live here, they're college graduates, so they don't just listen to the ads. They actually go online and do research and know what the issues are and where the two candidates stand. And my last point I want to make is that John McCain is trying to create a rift between Barack's supporter and the Hillary Clinton supporter. And I understand that right now the Hillary Clinton, most of them, not all of them, but some of them are really upset about the whole issues of the campaign during the primary season. But like one of your colleagues said right now on the radio is that the issues of the two candidates are very, very different. And they are very, very critical. And the Hillary supporters that are going to that on radio saying that they're going to vote for the John McCain, what they got to do is really understand what they are saying and what they are doing. Because by voting for John McCain, basically, if John McCain becomes president for the next 4 years, guess what? Whatever happens in the Supreme Court, if he's going to be choosing judges, he's going to be choosing judges based on his belief and his perspective of how people should live in America.
Yep. That is the way it works in this country, Alan, and we appreciate your view from Alexandria, Virginia. Karen Tumulty, let me come to you. Here are the cards on the table, and Alan kind of points them again. He calls in from Alexandria, looks at the diversity there, thinks it's going to work. Maybe Barack will take Virginia, maybe not.
Well, Carlos, of course, could speak to Virginia probably better than I can, but Virginia is a diverse state, and I think there's no question that Barack Obama is going to carry the northern part of Virginia, Alexandria, the area, the suburbs near Washington. I think the big question is whether Barack Obama can work the same kind of magic in the southern part of the state, which is economically stressed, that Mark Warner in particular did. And I think Carlos is right. It's going to help him somewhat that Mark Warner is also on the ticket this year.
Does policy trump race?
You know, certainly, I mean, you never know what the polls are telling you and what's accurate and what's not. I think that it's going to be places like Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, where the Obama campaign is saying they have a fighting chance. Those are going to be the states that really test, I think, how far this country has moved on race.
And right next door, a big test for in any presidential race in Florida. Let's go to Mickey, calling from Tampa, Florida. Hi, Mickey. You're on the air.
Hi there. I was just calling to say because I think this is Barack Obama's election to lose. He had a lot of promise as a progressive candidate, you know, out of Iraq in 16 months, new national health care plan, ethics reform with an internet database of lobbying reports and finance filings and any number of different progressive reforms, but on the other hand, he also totally capitulated on FISA, just like a lot of other spineless Democrats, giving
on surveillance
everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he pandered to AI PAC right alongside McCain. He, like all of the other candidates, blew off the science debate that was supported by the AAAS, and he did go to the Saddleback Forum on faith. And so it's like every time he moves to the right to win over fundamentalists, he alienates the progressives who originally got him to this convention, the grassroots support.
So and, how do you think it looks in Florida right now? As we sit here in Denver and you there in Tampa, Mickey, how's it look in your state?
Well, I'll tell you, during the primary, we didn't see very many, Obama bumper stickers going down the road and stuff because they couldn't campaign here. But I've seen more and more over the past few weeks, and I can tell you right now, a few weeks ago, I decided I wasn't going to send Barack Obama any more money just because he's diverged too much from the progressive outlook that he originally was kind of...
Yeah, Mickey, it's good to hear from you from there in Tampa and Florida. Let me bring it to my guests here in Denver. David Hecker, how about it? Mickey, sees a Barack Obama going to the center. Mm-hmm. He calls that a losing strategy. Clearly, it's losing with Mickey. What do you think?
First of all, I don't see Barack Obama moving towards the center. You know, of all the political candidates I voted for and worked for, there's always going to be a few issues I'm going to disagree with him on. On the other hand, the candidate who takes a position and refuses to hear new information and refuses to refine their position based on new information or more thinking about it, well, I have problems with a candidate who is so locked in. He clearly has a progressive agenda. You know, when you talk about universal health care, when you talk about his great support for public education, when you talk about he wants to penalize companies who send jobs overseas and he wants to reward companies that build jobs here. When you think about his support for working people, a 98% voting record for working people in the Senate, he is clearly a progressive candidate. Are there going to be some issues Mickey disagrees with him on and other people? Absolutely. But Barack Obama is a progressive candidate, and to walk away from him because someone disagrees with this or that, well, that gives us John McCain.
Carlos Del Toro, his lead over John McCain has shrunk, at least nationally, in recent weeks. Why? And what do you think he needs to drive home in these last 10 weeks to November 4th to make this happen for the Democrats?
Well, I think part of the reason why the lead has shrunk a little bit is, let's face it, the campaign, McCain and the Republican Party have been very aggressive in their media outreach. They've been very strategic, and that's had some impact on the American population. I think that Barack Obama needs to continue to reach out to hardworking Americans. Over 8 million Americans and more have fallen into poverty in the last 7 years of the Bush administration, and McCain has been part of that problem. Mickey needs to answer the question, who do you think is going to care more about hardworking Americans over the course of the next administration? And I think the answer to that question is Obama, and that's why I'm supporting him. And I hope Mickey decides to send him an additional $25 whenever he comes around again.
How much unity, how much tension do you feel in this convention hall in Denver this week between Obama supporters and Clinton supporters? Hillary Clinton speaking tonight.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel a whole lot of tension at all. And I'm a Hillary delegate, mm-hmm. and I speak to Hillary delegates all day long. I think there's a tremendous amount of unity. I think you saw it on the floor last night when Michelle Obama gave a tremendous speech. Mm. She really did. I spoke to David Broder after that speech, actually, and he even agreed that Michelle hit it out of the ballpark because she reached out to ordinary Americans in a very special way to tell them who Michelle Obama is and who Barack Obama is. And I think that's the winning strategy over the next 3 months.
David Hecker, what about the Ted Kennedy message last night? Effective? Here's the Ted Kennedy, who knows what the future holds for him. He's up against a lot right now. He stood at the podium pretty vigorous.
That was a magical moment because people didn't know Ted Kennedy would be there. They knew about Caroline. They knew about the tribute. They didn't know Ted Kennedy would be there. And that was just a tremendous moment. Ted Kennedy has spent his lifetime, like his brothers did, fighting for those issues, for working family, for jobs, for Social Security, for Medicare, for health care for everyone. He really epitomizes what the Democratic Party stands for and what Senator Obama stands for.
Karen Tumulty, the national polls very much tightened in recent weeks. But, of course, that's different than if you look at the electoral map and try to add it up that way. Have you tried to go through that exercise? Is it even possible in the spaghetti pile out there right now?
Well, the polling in the battleground states is it's not conducted as frequently. It's, you know, but the fact is that people I talked to at the Obama campaign and elsewhere say that those polls in the battleground states are showing the exact same trend. They've tightened up a lot more. And, you know, a number of these states where Obama thought he'd be leading now, right now John McCain is. Now, you know, he's got time and he's got resources, but the fact is he's got work to do.
When you talk to people in Michigan, David Hecker, who may be on the fence, who may be deciding, who may have been Clinton supporters who are disillusioned, or maybe thinking about John McCain, what do you say to them?
What I say to them is if you supported Hillary Clinton, as I did, and you take a look at what Senator Clinton stands for and what Senator Obama stands for, there isn't much of a difference there. It's very, very much the same. Secondly, I tell them, look what our state is going through. Unbelievably high unemployment, unbelievably high foreclosure rate. You know, every day, thousands of people, headlines in the paper, thousands of people laid off, people, active and retirees losing their health care. That if you want a candidate who is going to continue that, then there's John McCain. If you want a candidate that's going to bring change, that's going to build, have a million electric cars built, hopefully all in Michigan, in the next 10 years, then you're voting for Barack Obama.
David Hecker, delegate of Michigan. Carlos Del Toro, delegate of Virginia. It's great to have you both with us. Thank you very much for joining us here in Denver.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Tom.
Karen Tumblety, please stand by. When we come back, we'll look at Hillary Clinton's big speech tonight, what she needs to accomplish. Listeners, you can join us. What does Barack Obama need to be talking about to swing undecided voters? Can Joe Biden help? Can Hillary Clinton help? What do you hope to hear from Hillary Clinton tonight? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, live from the Democratic National Convention in Denver. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from Denver in the Democratic National Convention. Behind me right now, Representative Javier Becerra from California. We are high above the convention floor, been looking at battleground states, and we're going to look right now ahead to the big speech tonight from Hillary Clinton. She's not the keynote, but there's much more anticipation of her speech. She and Barack Obama, of course, battled long and hard for the Democratic nomination, and it's been a very big topic here in Denver this week. How hard, how enthusiastically her supporters will swing in behind Barack Obama, if they'll swing in behind Barack Obama. To help us look at that, we're joined right here in our booth above the convention floor by Karen Tumblety, national political correspondent for Time Magazine, and joined now in Denver by Matt Bai, political reporter for the New York Times Magazine, author of The Argument, Billionaires, Bloggers, and the Battle to Remake Democratic Politics. Matt Bai, thanks very much for being here.
Always fun, Tom.
Great to have you. Listeners, you can join us in this segment as well. What do you think? Is Hillary Clinton being given too much attention in Denver? Not enough? And what do you hope to hear from Hillary Clinton tonight? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Matt Bai, she's scheduled to talk for 20 minutes. Can she possibly deliver this great sort of mending of the party that a lot of people seem to be hoping, almost praying for?
Well, I hear them, but I don't know what exactly she's supposed to say, right? Short of, you know, holding up a huge placard of Barack Obama and you know, exalting over him. I mean, she supports him fully. She said all the right things. Obviously, she's disappointed at not getting the nomination. I think that's her right. And I think what people forget, granted, I say this as someone who's not, you know, here for the Democratic Party. I suppose if I was a party person, I'd feel differently. But I think people forget that conventions are called conventions. They're not coronations. They're not supposed to be scripted like symphonies. They're not supposed to be three-act plays. They're places where people come and are heard and make decisions and make votes. And even if it's not the way it once was or quite as raucous as that, I don't understand why there's anything wrong with people being disappointed and making themselves heard and getting their chance to have a say. I mean that to me is... Call me crazy, but I thought that's why we have conventions.
Absolutely, but then I guess it's all about a hoped-for margin of victory. And Barack Obama now coming within that statistical margin with John McCain. Bill Clinton speaking tomorrow night, supposed to be in the convention hall tonight as Hillary Clinton gives her speech, along with Chelsea Clinton. Karen Tumblety, what about it? I mean, Hillary Clinton is already, as Matt says, saying the right things. The people are smelling every little emanation from the Clinton camp and every little wrinkle of the brow. Is the rift mended?
Well, no, it's not. And it's a process. It's not a moment. And I think, you know, if there is going to be a kumbaya moment at the convention, it's likely to be when we see the roll call of the delegates. And they're looking for some big dramatic sort of show of her releasing her delegates. I think that might be that catharsis that people have been talking about. I think one thing that these delegates would love to hear from Hillary Clinton, because they haven't heard a lot of it so far at this convention, at least not in primetime, is a little bit of red meat tonight. They'd like to see, you know, at this point, a little bit more, you know, elbows being thrown for the fight ahead.
Let's hear just a little bit of what Hillary Clinton's been saying. We'll have 20 minutes more tonight, but here she is yesterday in Denver at the Hispanic Caucus to the DNC.
So I am asking you, those of you who supported me, I will be forever grateful to work as hard for Barack Obama as you worked for me during the primaries.
Hillary Clinton with the Hispanic Caucus. Tonight she talks with everybody. Yesterday, outside the Pepsi Center, the big arena here on the edge of downtown Denver, Clinton supporters were protesting, demanding that Democratic Party leaders allow a vote after she's formally nominated.
Let the delegates vote. Let the delegates vote. Let the delegates vote. Let the delegates vote.
Our producers were there with a microphone. Okay, they got an Obama supporter, listen here, telling Clinton supporters that they are being disloyal.
You lost, people. Get over it. You lost. Get over it.
Matt, is that just a moment of theatrics outside, or is that what's going on in hotel lobbies and, you know, back halls here all week?
I mean, Tom, look, you're a Boston guy. I'm a Yankee fan. We're familiar with all of these emotions. I have had them every year. I'm sympathetic here, but I come at it from a totally different perspective. Obviously, as not someone who cares so much about having this beautiful unified picture. Not my job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But look, she came as close as a human being could come to winning this nomination. These people worked hard and they supported her and they care very deeply. I think they're going to be with him at the end of the day. There's no way they're voting for John McCain. They're going to come around. This is not a fight over issues. There's never been a divide over a single point of view here. What did they fight about? Healthcare mandates? I mean, there's nothing dividing them. This is simply people who felt deeply and passionately about a cause. This is their party's convention. They want to be heard. And, you know, from my perspective, that's proper.
Karen, are you so sure that's going to happen? I'm looking here. Gallup poll, new one, says 47% of Clinton backers say they are now solidly for Obama.
Yeah.
Then 23%, you know that other funny one that says they support Obama but are opening to change their minds to vote for John McCain.
No, I think in the end, I agree with Matt. I think they're going to be there. And also, these theatrics outside the convention hall, I spent some time on the floor yesterday trying to find every delegate I could who was wearing a Clinton button, and by and large they were saying, look, you know, we're going to be there. I talked to one woman who said, I bought my Obama t-shirt, I bought my Obama button, I haven't been able to put it on yet, but you know, by Thursday I think I will be able to. And by the way, it's worth saying too, a lot of this is, you know, this is being fanned to some degree by the Republicans and by John McCain with their ads, and they're here in force.
Big reception today for Vernon Jordan, very close advisor to Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
I was there, yes.
You were there. A lot of top supporters from both camps,
That's
big money
right.
people and others, at the Ritz-Carlton in Denver, sort of, I guess, breaking bread there. And Vernon Jordan saying this is all made up by the media.
Well, he also got up and gave a speech saying it's time for all of us to start pulling in the same direction and to move on. That was definitely. Valerie Jarrett, one of the very closest friends of both Barack and Michelle Obama, was there and very visibly there at this reception honoring Vernon Jordan.
These gestures by individuals meaning a lot here in Denver this week. How that translates out to the country, I don't know. San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom tells USA Today, he says the Clinton-Obama divide is tangible at every level of the campaign. He looked back to Obama's message in 2004. You know, we don't have red states and blue states. It's just one United States. And he said, yet here we are as a party, and we need to be reminded that we're not Clinton groups or Barack groups. There's still that friction. Let's go to our listeners. Shadow's calling from Florida, Sarasota, Florida. Shadow, you're on the air to Denver.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. What do you see, Shadow?
Well, I see a lot of people that are still very, very angry. Obviously, Florida was a very big Hillary Clinton supporter, and she did win in Florida. And I think that people are still very, very upset. And I've heard, you know, the general Democratic people that I know not really sure how they're going to vote. And I hear Hillary Clinton talking a lot about Democratic unity, but I think if Barack Obama viewed it the same, his best bet would have been to put her on the ticket. And I think the fact that Barack Obama gave so much flack about Hillary wanting the Floridian votes to count, and now that the Florida delegate votes do count, nobody has said anything about this. But when Hillary wanted the votes to count, it seemed to be a big, huge media deal. And
Shadow, let us pick that up here in Denver, especially the vice presidential piece. Matt, you hear our caller from Sarasota, Florida, sees tension there, sees the disappointment still real. She raises the vice presidential question. Joe Biden, of course, picked. And headlines saying Hillary wasn't really considered, that Barack Obama signaled her pretty early on that wasn't going to happen. I don't know how these things get judged. I guess they get judged on November 4th. But how are you hearing delegates here this week, Matt, talk about that vice presidential process and decision?
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't talked to a lot of delegates about that decision. I don't think it was ever particularly realistic that he was going to choose Hillary Clinton as a running mate for a bunch of reasons. First, because it really would have created a tense ticket and a ticket where you had Bill Clinton overshadowing and Hillary Clinton overshadowing what he was trying to do. And then also, I just don't think she would have really gotten him anything from an electoral perspective, because even though she was winning a lot of the working class voters that he wants to court, that was a binary choice between her and him. It doesn't mean that she has the great loyalty of those voters to go out and win in a general election. So, I don't think it was ever a very practical choice. But, you know, I understand why some of her supporters wanted that and are disappointed by it. I think she knew, certainly, that she wasn't going to end up on the ticket.
Let's get a caller from Miami, Florida. Dixon, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I think one thing I'm listening to this conversation, I think it's a great, great talk. I do think, though, that this divide between the Hillary Clinton supporters and Barack Obama supporters is, I think, is very real. I think they're... You know, we can talk a lot about where they were similar or different in where their stances were, but I hear Obama saying what people want to hear. I mean, I think both sides of any ticket is going to, say that, you know, we want a better economy. Obviously, we want everybody to have health care, no question about it. But how we're going to do it, I just don't hear anything behind Obama saying that.
And Dixon, have you supported Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John McCain? Where are you?
I'm not going to support Barack Obama in this election, I don't believe. But I'll tell you another thing, too, and this is the last thing I'll say. If you notice, I don't believe Obama won, and I may be wrong on this, but I don't believe he won any states going back in the last 20 or 15 or 20 states in the primaries. And I feel there's got to be a feeling that this election was robbed a little bit, especially when they started prying into a lot of his stances and into his personal associations as well. I think that...
Well, robbed takes a little poetic license there. I guess people can feel robbed in politics in many different ways. But, of course, he went through the process, and he came out with that margin of victory. But, Karen Tumulty, you hear it right there in Miami. Dixon, Hillary supporter, and now not going for Barack.
Although I'm really sitting, I'm wondering what he means by Barack Obama not having, for instance, a health care plan. Barack Obama does have a very detailed health care plan that is very, very similar to Hillary Clinton's, with one exception, and the question of whether individuals should be required to buy health insurance. So I really was sort of didn't quite understand that.
Hard to figure that one out. What about on the issue of women in politics in this country? Susan Faludi, writing today in the New York Times, the United States ranks 22nd among 30 developed nations in its proportion of female federal lawmakers. 22nd out of 30. That's not too high. And, of course, Hillary Clinton's speech tonight. If Barack Obama's on Thursday, comes on the, 45th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Hillary Clinton's comes on the 88th anniversary, who would have guessed it, of women's suffrage becoming the law of this land. What about women? 18 million cracks in that glass ceiling, Hillary Clinton says. Susan Faludi says many of Clinton's supporters regard this as a cameo appearance tonight, a consolation prize, and they are not consoled.
Well, I mean, you know, but the fact is she came in second, you know. So, I mean, it was a historic campaign. And by the way, I am one of the people who thinks that she was subjected to a fair amount of sexism in this campaign, not only in the media, but things like, you know, just the sorts of things that people would say about her. You know, I would go through airports and see Hillary Clinton nutcrackers. I mean, I get all that. But the fact is she did an important thing. She did a historic thing, and she fell short.
Let's go to Mike, calling from Arlington, Virginia. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Very well.
All right, so I've got a sort of a different kind of approach that I want to go through here. I think that the real topic here isn't really whether or not the Hillary supporters are gonna jump ship and join McCain. I really don't think that that's going to happen. I think it's a similar kind of thing with the religious right, straying away from John McCain. You know, in the end, the party lines are going to stay with the party lines. I think that the middle ground, which I happen to find myself in, especially in Arlington, Virginia's a swing state or whatever, I think the middle ground is really going to decide this thing. And I think that when it comes down to it, bringing Joe Biden in, you know, bringing Obama towards the middle or whatever, at least from my perspective or whatever, gave me a bigger pull towards Obama. Because before that, I mean, he was much further off the left, especially with his foreign policy. And I think that bringing Joe Biden in is really going to be the, you know, the, the deciding factor, I don't know, at least in my opinion, of whether or not...
Mike in Arlington, we've got it. Our time grows short here in Denver. Let me get one more call, if I may, from Boston. We've got Paul calling. Hi, Paul, you're on the air, and then we'll look at Biden. Yes. Paul, hi, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for doing what you do. Great program. A couple of things. I'm a lifelong Democrat. For a time in my life, I'm probably not going to vote, or I may vote Republican. Working class family, but I've become very successful. And two things that annoy me incredibly. One is I'm infuriated over what the Obama camp did to turn the Clintons into racists. Secondly, as a business owner, he hasn't reached out to me. I don't know what he stands for. I don't know what he's going to do for me, insurance, the benefits, things I need to do for my employees. You know, ultimately, it's not what Hillary Clinton says or what Bill Clinton says. It's what Barack says, and he hasn't said it to me yet. And lastly, if the Republicans choose our former governor, Mitt Romney, as a running mate, I think the Democrats are underestimating that even Massachusetts could go Republican, because there are a lot of angry Democrats right now. And with Romney on the ticket, you know, he could win Massachusetts and he could win New Hampshire. And they've got problems.
True blue Democratic Massachusetts, even after Ted Kennedy's big speech last night, Paul?
Even, you know, love Ted Kennedy, but I'm really, even the Kennedys themselves have managed to annoy me for the first time in my life. Notwithstanding his speech, I don't think Obama has done, you know, he just hasn't reached out to me yet. And
Paul, we've got it. Our time is short here in Denver, forgive me, but Matt Bai, Paul is not just on the fence. It looks like he's going off of it.
You can't trust these Red Sox fans, Tom. They're all over the place.
What about Joe Biden? Our caller from Arlington, Virginia says Biden's going to help. Well,
yeah, I think Biden helps, because I think he's great with working class voters, and he reassures people a little bit on the experience question. I don't think he helps a lot, but it certainly helps somewhat. I thought Paul raised actually two really critical points that the Obama people, Democrats in general, should be listening to very carefully. One is on this issue of race that he raised, and I wrote about this the other day, but I really think to the extent that Democrats begin this drumbeat to say he only loses this election if he loses because people are racist, I think it's not only wrong, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It tells
Bill Clinton said to be fuming about that implication.
I think that is a really bad way to go, and I think Americans will reject it. And this question about, so tell me what you're going to do. What are you going to do for my business? What are you going to do for my home? I think people are still, and this goes, these are kind of parts of the same issue. It's not just race. People actually want to know who this guy is, what he's going to do. He has a very limited experience in public life. He has very limited exposure. To the extent that he spends the next 6 or 8 weeks winning people over in that argument and explaining who he is and what he intends to do, he'll get voters like Paul, or he won't.
Matt Bai with the New York Times, political writer there, author of The Argument. Great to have you with us, Matt. Thank you so much for joining.
Anytime, Tom.
Karen Tumulty, the last words go to you. We've just got half a minute here. What is it that Hillary Clinton can do on that podium tonight, if anything, to kind of cut through this and settle it? Can it be settled?
It can't be settled. And it's, like I said, recognize it as a process. And I think she needs to help Barack Obama lay out the case for himself and against John McCain.
So pick up the cudgel, I guess, against McCain. Can she really elaborate Barack Obama's? Of course, he'll have his chance on Thursday night, but she can say what she'll say in his behalf. And is it the way she says it? Is it the look on her face? The camera's going to pull in real tight, Karen.
She is, you know, she is terrific in these exactly in these kinds of situations.
Well, all eyes will be on here tonight in Denver, right here, and across the country. Karen Tumulty, national political correspondent with Time Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us, Karen. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, live from Denver. Thanks for being with us.